Shalom to all the WHK listeners today, and Baruch Atah Hashem Adonai, blessed be the name of the Lord, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries Hour on WHKW Christian Radio, and also to those listening worldwide on WHKWradio.com. My name is John Bartlett, your host, your co-host today, and guess what? Our teacher, Sheila Crawford, is here. Now, today you're going to really want to make sure you have a Bible and a paper, piece of paper, and a pencil, because you're going to want to take some notes. And please enjoy the next hour of learning from God's Word. Let's open with prayer. We'll ask our Father in heaven to be with us. And you're our daddy, and you've also given us the gift of the Holy Spirit. And we thank you for that. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you for your Son, who has saved us and washed us. And we just ask you to be with us and to open our ears so we can hear what you have to say to us. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you, John, who, by the way, is the music director at Shofar Assembly in Burton. And next Saturday, we're having a meeting at 6 o'clock. If you're interested in coming out, give us a call. I'll give you directions. But before that, I'm going to be speaking this Thursday at Lakeshore Assembly of God in Menor. And that's 8880 Lakeshore Boulevard at 7 o'clock. And the topic will be the yet-to-be-fulfilled fall feasts or the appointments of God. And I gave this message last week at Chesterland, at Chester Christian, and the people were very, very happy with it. It was a good night. A lot of people showed up. And thank you for coming, by the way, those of you that came because you heard it on WHK. And next Thursday, again, I'll be in Menor. So maybe we'll see some from that area of the town. We are here at WHKW every week, where I do truly enjoy this. I love sharing these gold nuggets of Judeo-Christian truths, especially on eschatology. And you know what that means, John, eschatology.
Well, we learned that last week, but let's just say what it is right now. It's the end. It's the study of those things in the end times.
Amen.
Or the last days.
And that's what I love doing the most. So, in other words, what the Old Testament prophets, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and all of them, what they taught in the Old Testament, and then combine that with our first century forefathers, what they taught, who were Jewish believers in the Yeshua HaMashiach. But especially any scriptures about the end of days, and I pretty much have read them. I want to remind you, too, that you can listen to any of the past shows by going to my webpage, shofarministries.net or shofarministries.com.
That's good, and that's a good place to go. And we will be opening the phone lines a little bit later in this hour. And we do ask you to please keep your questions to the topic of eschatology, because we are in those last days. And not a lot of information really is getting taught in the local churches today on eschatology or the last days. Now, some churches are, and I encourage you to find them and go there. And the church needs to know, these days especially, how truly close we are to that sound of the last trumpet or the last shofar.
Yes, we're going to hear that last shofar. It's going to sound better than I do, but
it's well, I think you do a pretty good job on the one we hear at the beginning of the show.
Thank you. Well, today I think we really need to discuss Israel. As many of you know, our new administration, in my opinion, seems to be more pro-Palestinian. It's very obvious to me that President Obama is now putting extreme pressure on Israel to give up Judea and Samaria, also known as the West Bank, and share their capital, Jerusalem, with the worshipers of Allah. Now, Allah is actually from the moon god Baal from a long, long, long time ago.
But Sheila, I hear people say that, you know, Allah, and it's just another name for the God we worship. And you're saying that's not true.
That is definitely not true. Hmm. Allah is definitely from the moon god, and we all know where he came from. And you know what? Let's not beat around the bush, okay? We've got good and we've got evil. There's either the real God or there's the false God, mm-hmm. who, by the way, is Satan. And it is a constant war since the beginning of time between God and Satan. And so he's going to come up with all these little ways to make you think that it's the same God, and he lies and does all those things. But let me tell you what, only the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Okay, that line right there.
That line, and that's an important line. You know, you just reminded me, too, that in the Ten Commandments, our God says, you shall have no other gods before me, and it's the same word for God that he uses for himself. So there's obviously other gods.
Right. And how in the world can anybody say that it's the same God? Allah is a God of hate. He says, kill all the infidels and that. And, you know, anyway, I don't even want to go
there.
You
don't want to go there.
You know, and I'm not here to bash other faiths or our president. That is not what I care to do. In fact, if you were to ask me, I do believe we're living in the end times, and if President Obama is the man to take us to where we need to be, I'm okay with it, because I love Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I know that these things in the Bible have to come to pass. And he says, when you see these things come to pass, then look up. So I'm kind of glad they're happening. It's that bittersweetness, you know. It's like when John ate the scroll. It's like at first it's sweet and then it's bitter, and it's like both emotions. And you are sad. You know, I am sad to see that, you know, prayer was taken out of the school. I'm sad to see that that couple in San Diego, Bible study in their home was shut down. You know, I'm sad to see these things, and that's for sure. But it is what it is, and the main thing is to stir you up out there, people. I want to stir you up so that you will tell others that he's coming back soon. And you know what? If people just don't want to hear you because they don't want to be the bride, or they just really don't believe it, then at least tell them what's going to happen so that when they see it, they will believe and get down on their knees. According to Revelation, John saw a lot of tribulation saints, and he didn't know who they were. He had to ask who they were. Had it have been the church, he would have recognized them. Mm-hmm. But he didn't, and he was told it's the tribulation saints. Why? Because once we're out of here, then the Holy Spirit comes and goes as he chooses.
Like he did in the
The Old Testament.
In the first.
That's correct. Yeah. That's correct. And so we know that all Israel will be saved during the tribulation. Praise God. We know that 144,000 Jews, 12,000 from each tribe, will get saved immediately when we're out of here. And that's why they're called the first fruits, because they're the first fruits that get saved during that period of time, which, by the way, goes back to fulfill Daniel's 70th week, also called Jacob's Trouble.
Mm-hmm.
So see, the church has to leave, because otherwise they wouldn't be able to be called the first fruits, because we're already saved.
That's correct.
Okay, so there's a lot of little details here.
There's a lot of little details, but it all revolves around the fulfillment of the prophets and the fulfillment of
Amen.
The feasts.
Amen.
Of the Lord, which are, like you said, the word meaning rehearsals, as well as gatherings, but these are rehearsals, and they actually get fulfilled. And we talked about last week that Jesus fulfilled
the first four. Yeah.
And
so he's got to do the last three. Come on.
And really, the story of the last days is about Jesus fulfilling the last three.
That's right. It's all surrounding his second coming, the end time.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that's happening in the end times is that all nations will come against Israel.
And I see that. We see that happening.
Well, now for sure.
Now for sure. It's getting clear.
You know, for our president to just come right out and tell Netanyahu that he has to stop all settlements without any thing back from the Palestinians, basically. And the other thing is, we are talking to the wrong people. Mm-hmm. We're talking to the Palestinians whose leader is Abbas of the Fatah.
Mm-hmm.
And he really is just an intermediate. Because once we gave them Gaza, that's a perfect example.
Right.
Okay, Fatah went in and they had Gaza. Well, not too long after that, Hamas comes and takes it over, you see.
Right.
So who do we need to be talking to? We need to be talking to Hamas, and they won't even talk to us and say that Israel doesn't deserve to live. So we're keep making arrangements. I say we because I
believe I'm part of Israel now.
Oh, okay.
You know, I'm grafted in, you know, and I do because I'm passionate about it. I'm passionate about it. And yet I know these things have to happen.
What's, you know, and of course, you know, you say our policy now of the United States is to get Israel to dismantle settlements. What gives Israel the right to have these settlements?
Well, let's go back to the Bible.
Okay.
You know, I believe that the Bible is truth. Mm-hmm. I believe that it's without error. It's been proven to be without error as far as no error has ever been able to be found in it. Okay? It's the only Bible that predicts hundreds and hundreds of things that have come true and still some to come true. No other religion book can do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've talked to Muslims before, and I said, well, give me one prediction that your Quran says that's come true. They can't give me even one. And yet this Bible, there's no way that man could predict it, all these things, even what empire is going to proceed another empire. Only God can do that. So I got to trust the Bible. And the Bible talks about how there's a certain piece of land
mm-hmm.
that's his, but he would allow the Jewish people, the Israelites, the 12 tribes, to use it, take care of it, and never give it away. And that's what he says. So for us as Americans to push Israel to give away even more land after they've given away so much already with nothing to show for it, why in the world would we force them to give away more, which is what they want to do with the Judea, Samaria, West Bank area? Why would we do that? That's absurd. It's crazy. It doesn't make sense. But let's look at some of those scriptures. And if you have a paper and pen, you're going to need to write down the verse and then look it up on your own because we don't have time to read them all. But I'll certainly give you a little headline of each one, okay? Does that make a deal?
Yeah, that would be good.
Okay. I will read this one, though. It's Genesis 15:18, and it is the land covenant with Abram. Notice it's Abram. It doesn't even have Abraham in there yet.
Yeah.
To your descendants, I give this land from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates. Now, that's the Nile River, all the way to actually Iraq, because the river Euphrates is all the way over to that. So that's really the original.
That's a big chunk of land.
You betcha. And
yes.
Look what the, oh, well. Verse 19 and 20 of chapter 17, God says, the covenant of the land of Canaan, that's Israel today, shall be with Sarah's son Isaac. And that's important because Abraham, as you know, had a son Ishmael through Hagar, his concubine.
Right.
So Ishmael's descendants will be great also. And he says that. He says they're going to be great. They're going to have a lot of land. And they do.
And they do.
If you've ever looked at a map, you see how small Israel is. Even with the area all the way to Iraq, it's still a lot smaller than all the Arab countries like Saudi Arabia and Egypt and Syria and all them.
Right.
It's still smaller. But he says that's going to be for the descendants of Isaac and Jacob, and Ishmael will have the rest.
Right.
But they're not satisfied. They want it all. Because they're following the wrong God, who is actually Satan. I'm sorry. It's just the way it is. It's the truth.
Oh, well, I'll just leave it at this. I know that in the Ten Commandments, God says there are other gods.
Oh,
they're
obviously small g.
There were gods with a small g.
And we're not supposed to worship them.
But we're not supposed to worship them. Do they have power? Yes. Can they do things we can't? Yes. Will they possibly answer a prayer? Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Will they possibly
they have power.
Be able to perform a miracle? Yes.
Mm-hmm. And it's going to get worse during the tribulation.
You see, that fits the resume of a God with small g.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's very easy. I'm just saying it's easy
to be deceived.
To be deceived.
I know. I know, though, how you can avoid being deceived.
And yes, and that
and
is.
And you do too.
I do too. And I'll tell you what, we're talking, of course, about God's holy word, the Bible and the scriptures. And listen, if you're a new Christian, you've just become born again, do not get discouraged reading. And I'll be the first one to tell you, I'll be very honest. The first time I read the Bible after I was saved, I was very discouraged.
Sure.
Number one, because I didn't understand it. And number two, because of the things I thought I understood, I was really misunderstanding. But not knowing at the time. The Bible is just not like any other book that you can pick up and read like a magazine.
No.
Some parts of it are, but some parts of it can be very upsetting to read. Upsetting. I got upset when I read the Bible, and I got discouraged. And,
yeah.
and you know, even they said even Paul's writings, I remember there's a verse that says that as some do wrestle with Paul's writing to their own destruction. And, you know, when you're first starting out in the Bible, you can get very discouraged. And like myself, I put it down. I said, I'm not reading it anymore. I read the whole thing. So, but hang with us here.
That's right.
And hang with Sheila's teaching, because this is where you're going to go, oh, that's what it means.
Well, what happens, too, is the more time you spend in it, the more the Holy Spirit grows inside of you to help you understand. If you're only going to spend a few minutes every day reading it, you'll never get enough of his help. Because he's the real teacher. So I recommend, especially new believers, don't do anything less than 2 hours a day. You know, that's only an hour in the morning and an hour at night. Can't you give God that much time? And if you read it, then you'll get smarter spiritually. It's a supernatural effect.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible is the word of God. You put in it into your eye gate, goes into your spirit, and he grows inside. And that's the way it is. And today we're living in a time where the cares of this life are so much. I have to actually fight for time to be in my word. So I understand totally how hard it is. But for God, it's time to make time so that you'll have discernment and can understand the word better. But it's all a matter of time. And it's all up to you. You have the total choice of how close you want to be to God. So don't in your prayer say, God, how come you're leaving me? Because he's not. It's you that's not spending enough time with him. And that's the truth. And
well,
I said I'd always tell the truth on this show.
And two. Okay. Okay.
Okay, but let's go back to Israel.
Let's go back to Israel. Here. We got a little off.
All right. Write down Genesis 26:3. And this is basically a scripture where God is speaking to Isaac, telling him the same thing. Let's go on to Genesis 28:13-15. This is just after Jacob's now. Now we have Abraham and then Isaac. And then Isaac's son, Jacob, because Jacob had a brother, and that was Esau. Okay, Esau went the wrong way. He sold his birthright.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're talking about Jacob now, who is in the line, the good line.
Mm-hmm.
Just after Jacob's vision of the angels ascending and descending up the ladder to heaven, God says, and behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and your descendants. Also, your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. And you and all your seed, all the families of the earth, shall be blessed. Behold, I am with you, and I will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land. Now, that's the key.
Mm-hmm.
For I will not leave you until I have done and what I have spoken to you. This is the covenant that he made with his people, regardless of their sins. Regardless of how many times they disobeyed and went after other gods, have they suffered because of that? Of course they have.
Yeah.
Deuteronomy 28 talks about it. If you do this, these things will happen to you, but not all of you will be destroyed. There will always be a remnant, and that's who he's talking about, and that's who's going back to Israel today. In spite of what's happening over there, they're still going back home because they have this drive inside of them to be there, and that's what God is doing to these people.
So in Genesis 28, he's talking about a land covenant here.
That's right. That's right. And that can't change.
And that can't change.
No. He made the covenant.
Yes.
Okay. And then 4 chapters later, God changes Jacob's name to Israel, which means prince with God. That's what that Israel means. In Genesis 35:12, God speaking to Jacob, he said, the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac, I give to you. See, he's demonstrating that line. So they... Arabs can't say, no, Ishmael is father of Abraham. He gave the land to Abraham. No, he gave separate land to the Israelites and separate land to the descendants of Ishmael. But he says, I give Abraham and Isaac, I give to you, and to your descendants after you, I give this land. Jacob named the place Bethel. That is in the West Bank. This is what they want to give away, what President Obama is pushing to give away so that they can have a Palestinian state right in the middle of Israel. When in, if you know your history, mm-hmm. you'll know that originally the Balfour Declaration said that they would have a homeland and it would include the whole area of Jordan today.
Yes.
And then soon after, like 3 years later, they changed their mind and said, you know what? That area east of the Jordan River is going to go to Jordan. You only going to get now what's on the west side of the Jordan River. And now they want to take half of that away again.
Yeah, it sounds like an American story that I'm familiar with, too, you know, in our Native Americans. Also, this is an unconditional covenant, right? That means
that's right.
No matter how
Abraham went to sleep, he didn't have to do anything.
He was sleeping during the time of this covenant.
Right.
That's why you got to read this carefully, because you see, hey, he's asleep.
That's
and
right.
This is in a covenant being made.
Okay, let's get in a couple more scriptures before the break. Genesis, I know time flies. Genesis 48:3-4, we have Jacob telling his son Joseph what God had told him in Canaan. I'll just give you the scripture and you can read it later. But it's he says it's an everlasting possession. Everlasting.
Yes. Okay.
Then we have Exodus 3:8, where God tells Moses how he has heard his people's cry from Egypt's bondage. And so he says this, "So I have come down to deliver them out of the land of the Egyptians and to bring them up from that land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites," something like that, "and the Hivites and the Jebusites." Now, what happened was, of course, when they were down into Egypt, these other ites mm-hmm. went in and started living in the land. But that land is still Israel because it was given to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So when they come out of Egypt, it was their job to get rid of them. And, of course, we know the story of Joshua. Exodus 32:13 says Moses reminding God now after the golden calf incident. Don't forget, you gave us this land, so therefore, okay. So read that. And then also Deuteronomy 1:7-8, we have Moses recalls God's instructions to the children of Israel where he said, now go get the land. He took them out of Israel. He says, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them and their descendants after them.
Yes, took them out of Egypt.
That's right.
Expressly to give them that land.
That's a lot of scriptures there.
That's a lot of scriptures. A real quick question here. You've been to Israel several times. And I've got to ask you, I don't really think the natives of Israel, the Jews in Israel, actually want the Palestinians to leave. I mean, it seems like the Palestinians, or the Palestinian people, want Israel to leave. Not all of them, of course, but
Israel's to a certain point,
yeah.
They get along fine. I've been in areas where they respect each other and they get along fine. The problem is now the West Bank, you're talking the Temple Mount. You're talking where their temple stood, and they want to make the capital, to the Palestinians. There, you're really stepping on some ground there.
Yes.
And so that's the biggest problem. And you know what? Zechariah 12:3 says, in the latter days, Jerusalem will become the burdensome stone. And, you know, and it's not just the Palestinians. It's the other groups. It's the Hamas. It's the Hezbollah up in the mm-hmm. north, which, by the way, tomorrow, there's an election in Lebanon. And, you know, they have three basic groups of people in Lebanon. Small country, smaller than Israel, actually. Well, right now. But they have the Sunnis, the Shiites, and they also have a secular sort of Christian group. Not born-again Christians, but Catholic and like that. You know,
right.
Good people. But they've always supported the Sunnis because the Sunnis are more Western-oriented. You know, we've been able to deal with them. But the Shias never let them stop fighting. So they're constantly, like, in a turmoil. So now, what I understand, and hopefully I'm wrong, the Christians are saying, you know what, we might as well just let the Shias take it, because the Sunnis then will lay low, and we'll be able to at least live without the fear of all these wars, you know, going on. So I think you're going to find tomorrow's election that Hezbollah is actually going to win. And, of course, you know who runs Hezbollah, and that's Iran.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so. Wow. And, again, if you're not in your word, you don't have the power to stand up against the evil. Ephesians 6 tells us, who do we fight against? It's not flesh and blood. We're fighting the enemy. Mm. And that's Satan himself and all his angels, his fallen angels. Amen?
Amen.
All right. I'd like to now, gosh, we're going up to the halfway point. We have a song that we're going to play today from my dear friend Melanie.
And I just want to mention a little bit about her. She's from my home county of Geauga. And she's going to sing today, in a few minutes, not quite yet, my favorite psalm, For the Living, which is Psalm 23. And we always say that psalm at funerals, but it's really For the Living, you know? But Melanie Pierce is an energetic person. She started writing music and performing publicly really as a young teenager. And, in fact, this song, Psalm 23, is from her younger days. So you're just going to love it. But over the years, she has used her God-given talent ministering to the church and those in prison. She's in dance theater and restaurant settings. She's been on television. She currently serves as keyboardist, flutist, and vocalist for New Covenant Fellowship in Chardon, also the Way Out Prison Ministry, and His Reflections, which is a multicultural gospel group. But Melanie, she is available for ministry at church services, weddings, dinners, or other special events. So after you hear her song, if you're interested in having her play at your church or function, then feel free just to get a hold of me, and I'll tell you how to get a hold of her. Okay? Do we have that ready? Can we play that now? Okay, go for it. Thank you.
welcome back to the Shofar Ministries Hour. And this Shofar Ministries is a non-denominational 501c3, and all gifts are tax deductible and donations are needed to stay on the air. Perhaps you'd like to sponsor the show by advertising your company on Christian radio. You can reach Sheila for details by calling 440-834-9006. That's 834-9006. And the first five donations of $50 towards this airtime will receive a handmade gift of a large cross for your wall from Mike, who makes them out of window pane dividers. The story, it's an interesting story how this came about. These crosses are handsome. They will hang on your wall, and they do look good. But Mike had asked the Lord to show him something that he could do with his hands to help the body of Christ when he had recommitted his life to Christ. And he saw these old window frame things in a pile of junk one day, and his eyes immediately fixated on the dividers of these windows. And so, well, that's the short story of how these crosses came about, and he somehow fashions them out of there. So he wanted to help us get the necessary funds because he just loves the show, and he has donated these crosses. So again, the first five donations, either through the mail or through PayPal on the Sheila's website, we will send you a homemade cross from Mike with love. And now I'd like to tell you about one of the sponsors to this show, and that is Mullet Masonry. Working with either brick, block, or stone, their work is impeccable, earning them a great reputation. They service residential, like chimneys and restorations, as well as the bigger commercial-type jobs. They're located in Geauga County, but will service any of the surrounding areas. They're experienced, and they do a great job. They're affordable, and they're very nice to boot. So if you need an estimate, just call Chad Mullet at 216-570-0177. That's 570-0177. Give them a try next time you need any facet of masonry work done. After all, Mullet Masonry helps keep this show on the air. So be sure to tell Chad that you heard about him on WHKW radio. And by the way, the lines are now open for your end time questions. The phone number is 216-901-0933, or outside the area, it's 888-677-WORD. That's 888-677-9673. Didn't hear the first one, 216-901-0933. And please make sure that your questions are on the topic of eschatology.
Because that's what I love to answer. Thank you, John, very much. And I just want to remind people again, if you have a business and you'd like us to mention it on the show, and it would help keep us on the air, my phone number at home is 440-834-9006. Feel free to call me. Most of the time I even answer. But anyway, I'd like to actually take this time to thank another one of our sponsors to the show, and that's Nicole Maroos. And most of you have heard of all the natural, non-toxic Arbonne health and beauty products. As I've told you before, I love it. I use it every day. And Nicole is the local representative of the Arbonne line, and she would really like to help you find the right products specifically suited for your type of skin. You know, we have different skin types, or your body needs, and that includes nutrition and weight control. So be sure to give Nicole a call at 440-840-2176. And you might even want to ask her how to earn some free products or start your own business to help with those extra expenses, especially in today's economy. Again, Nicole's number is 440-840-2176. And remember, people, don't we want to bless those that help keep this show on the air? So again, if you're interested or you know somebody that has a small business, we give a very good rate, by the way. So give me a call, 440-834-9006. All right. So let's go back to Israel a little bit. We talked about all those scriptures, and I hope people were able to write those down.
I hope so, too.
And look them up on your own. It's always better for you to see them in your own Bible. And by the way, a little hint on studying, never read your Bible without a highlighter. I highlight so many things. It's just easier to find them when you really need them, as we saw today, didn't we?
Yes.
Before we
started the show, we were looking for a specific scripture, and I knew whereabout it was. And then, of course, when I finally got there, it was highlighted. So it was just so good. Anyway, let's go back to Israel. We probably, I would say by this time, substantiated the fact that they deserve to be there. This is what God gave them. I mean, God owns the whole world.
Right.
You know? And he said, this land is a specific piece of land. I've even put my name there. And we've talked about that, I think. I don't know if you've done it on the radio, but I've talked about it a lot. And I think if we haven't, we're going to have to do that because his name, his initial is the Sheen, and it looks like a W. And it's actually carved into the landscaping of Jerusalem by the valleys that intersect. It is so awesome. And we even have a picture of it without all the buildings. It's there. It's definitely there. But anyway, what I want to say is that the Lord swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to give to them and their descendants after them this parcel of land. And during the millennial kingdom, we're going to have that land for sure. And there won't be any enemies to fight anymore. And we're going to be there too. We're going to be ruling and reigning with Jesus as his bride or queen or wife at this point. And it's going to be wonderful. And I really am looking forward to the millennial kingdom, aren't you?
I am.
So anyway, but God said, you're going to be dispersed. Okay. And they were. And the last one was in 70 AD when the Romans came and destroyed the temple. A lot of them left then, and then some stayed, and more left in about 135 when the Romans again came in and did some more destruction and the army of Bar Kokhba and those kind of details. But the main thing is there's always been a little remnant in Israel, okay, but not that many people. But now he said that in the end days he was going to bring them back, and I'd like you to, again, to write down these scriptures. Because we're not going to have time to go through them. But if you read Isaiah 43, 5 and 6, also Isaiah 49, 22, Jeremiah 23, 7 and 8, and Jeremiah 16, 14 through 16. These are the scriptures that say, okay, you're going to be dispersed, but I'm going to bring you back. And they're going back. We have more Jews now in Israel than I think we do in the United States, or it's about even.
It was about even. I think it might have tipped the other way.
Right. But he also says that he's going to judge the nations that come against Israel because he says, who blesses you, Genesis 12:3, I will bless. But who curses you, I will curse. And right now I'm afraid that we're trying to make them give away more land, which is a curse. If someone came in and said, you have to give up your land, that's a curse. That's definitely a curse.
That is.
And all I can say is, woe to America, woe to America. Woe to America, because Joel 3:2 says, I'm coming in judgment because they have divided up my land. Wow.
So we're telling them they need to give away more of their land. God says,
you're
cursed if you do that. And if God, and you said we would get God's judgment for doing that?
Absolutely.
Now, if God's judgment is fair, what would be the fair thing for God to do to us for making them give away their land? Would he not make it so we had to give away our land?
Yeah, or destroy it altogether.
Now, if we had to give away our land to another country or something? Look at that email I sent you the other night.
I know. We'll talk about that next week, John. We have a caller on the line.
Okay.
And I want to say thank you. Oh, my gosh, it's from Florida.
It's from Florida. It wouldn't be Clearwater, would it?
No.
No.
His name is Tom.
Tom. Okay.
Okay, Tom, you're on the air.
Yeah, I wanted to know if children would be included in the rapture.
Oh, that's a good question. All right, here's from my study. This is my answer for you. If the parents or the grandparents know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, then when the rapture occurs, the children will go also. However, there will be children left during the tribulation period, according to Isaiah 13. And let me just turn to that real quick and read that to you, just so that you know that during the tribulation period, which is after the rapture, there will be children. And I do not believe that they will be the children of those that know the Lord as their Savior. This tribulation period is going to be so awful that part of the judgment for those that refuse to accept Jesus as the Messiah or refuse to make Jesus Lord of their life. Part of the judgment is to see their children hurt. It is a sad point, which is why I try to encourage people, especially with children, at least examine the scriptures and find out, is Jesus really the Messiah? So if you think he's not, the scriptures will teach you that he really is. But in here it does talk about, like verse 15, everyone who is found will be thrust through, and everyone who is captured will fall by the sword. Their children also will be dashed to pieces before their eyes. Their houses will be plundered and their wives ravished. These are horrible scriptures, but this is what's going to be going on during the tribulation period. It's sad, but it's the truth. Now, however, I do want to let you know that according to the Old Testament, children weren't even really counted until the age of 20. And I believe that's the age of accountability. I know that people will argue with me and say, no, it's 13. And I say, no, that's just a step into puberty. But the real age of accountability, because God is so merciful, is really age 20. That in my heart, I believe that. And so I believe all children under the age of 20 will automatically go to heaven when they die. Now, they might be here for the tribulation, and they might suffer because their parents or their grandparents weren't saved. But immediately they will go to heaven, and there's no age of accountability from 20 years old and under. Did I answer your question?
Absolutely. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome, Tom. Thank you.
All right. God bless.
God bless. That was a great question.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
That's good to remember that I think that the point of it was that there will be children here on earth during the tribulation.
Yes.
So that means there will be what, children born during the tribulation, obviously?
Well, obviously, I'm sure that could happen too, but I think it's more than that. I think it's those that are left because they weren't set apart, sanctified underneath their parents or their grandparents.
Oh, so they, okay, so they were, and oh, isn't that sad? But then,
yeah.
But
and
up until age 20.
I believe so, because that's what the Old Testament, you know, pretty much said. I mean, I've got a scripture here
well,
if you want to look at it.
And, you know, God is merciful, slow to anger, and...
oh, he's very merciful.
More merciful than ever. I know he's merciful to people that are like 50 and act sometimes like they're...
You know, let me just give the people the scriptures for the children. I was able to just find them in the back of my Bible because I have them written down.
Yeah.
But it talks about how they're not counted to the age of 20, and you can look these up on your own. But it's Exodus 30:14, Exodus 38:26, Numbers 1:3, and that's just the ones that I know about. Okay.
So there's plenty of scriptural evidence for that.
Right. Good. And as far as the Isaiah 13 goes, which is a really heavy chapter, really heavy, but it is very obvious that it's in the day of his fierce anger. You know, that's one of the reasons why I teach Hebraic roots, because there's idioms, there's phrases that mean certain things.
Mm-hmm.
And to know that when you're reading, then you know when this is going to take place and that it hasn't already taken place, like when Assyria attacked them or Babylon or anything like that. When you see the phrases anywhere in there, in that day, mm-hmm. you know it hasn't happened yet. Or like in the day of his fierce anger, as in Isaiah 13, you know that that's coming because that's the 7-year tribulation period. Also, words like just the day of the Lord, that hasn't happened yet. Or the day that the sun will be darkened. These are all idioms and expressions used for the tribulation period.
Now, how would you know those were idioms or expressions if you were just starting to study your Bible? Wouldn't you need us to be there?
Well, you know.
What do we need the Reverend Sheila Crawford to get that?
Actually, the Holy Spirit is the real teacher. When
okay.
you read long enough and hard enough, you will understand.
Okay.
But he's also has teachers as one of the ministry gifts.
Body gifts, yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so you need to sit under teachers. I've had mentors that, mm-hmm. that actually showed me these things. And when I saw them, I realized, oh, yeah, that makes so much sense. It's right there. Amen?
How do you know? We know today we have a good teacher. How do you know, for instance, if you're under a good teacher?
Well, for one thing, if everything, he or she says is backed up by the Bible.
Okay,
that's the number one. But if you find some things that actually go against, then you would, you know, certainly, how do I put it? Be careful.
Okay, be careful.
Because there's a lot of false teachings out there, that's for sure. And I guess that's why I am more of a teacher than a preacher. To go on a Sunday morning to a church and just preach, that's very difficult for me. I've done it a few times, but I keep wanting to get people to start looking for scriptures. In fact, I've done that, and the pastor afterwards came up to me and says, you know what, that you gave about 15 scriptures. That's just a lot too much.
Oh, my gosh.
And that was in the very beginning after I was just trained and ordained and stuff. But I've learned now that my gift is more into the teaching.
Right.
And so I do Bible studies, things like that.
I would say that my criteria for a good teacher is one that will tell you, don't take my word for it.
Absolutely.
Look it up for yourself. If you can't do that, find somebody that's smarter than you and have them look it up and see what they think. In other
check
words,
everything out.
Check everything out.
That's right. That's
and, you
right.
know, you have always said to do that.
Oh, yeah, be a Berean, Acts 17:11.
Unfortunately, teachers that say that I know of, and they're good teachers, I can count on the fingers of one hand. They're rare.
Yeah, well, amen, hallelujah, I love Jesus. And if I can help people to get them in their word, because that's where the power comes from. That's the power.
That's the power.
You know, if you want the power to evangelize, to be able to witness, to be able to go to a Muslim and ask them why they believe what they believe, that takes power. And if you aren't in the word, you're not going to have that power. You're going to be afraid. You're going to be nervous. You're going to think, oh, they're going to make fun of me, or, you know, blah, blah, blah. You'll come up with all these excuses because the enemy is talking to you. And because you're not spending enough time in the word, you don't have that helmet on.
Right.
It's that helmet of salvation, basically, that you need. It only comes on from reading the word. That's the only way you can get it. You can't pray it on every day. Which I know some people say, oh, I pray the armor on every day. No, that does not work. That's like saying, okay, does it come off in the middle of the night? No. The armor comes on by the word of God. Jesus is the word. He is your armor. Get in there, read it every day, 2 hours minimum, and you will be able to have the discernment that you need and be able to go deeper into the Bible. Because let's face it, in Hebrews, Paul talks about, he says, man, you're still on milk. You know, and every time I read that scripture, I'm impressed, because I get this vision. Because one of my mentors told me this one time. They said, okay, Sheila, think about how you have to go into a business meeting. And I'm out there in the world, and I've had to go into a few business meetings. But he says, this time, open up the door, and you're going to see all these men in business suits drinking out of a baby bottle. Now, that's pretty funny.
That's,
but you know what?
Yes.
That's exactly what Christians are doing. They're staying on these baby bottles instead of continuing on and learning more about God and in His Word and studying in a little deeper level now. The milk is fine. Everybody needs it in the beginning, okay? But after that, then you need to dig a little further.
Now, where does Paul say study to show thyself approved?
It's actually him,
God.
Paul talking to Timothy.
To Timothy.
And I think
he's talking to a pastor or a church leader there.
Yes.
But
study to show yourself
approved unto God.
Yes.
Yeah, and so you don't need to be ashamed or embarrassed would be another way you could put that.
That's
and,
right.
And the command, now in our early church fathers in the first century, they were studiers, weren't they?
Yeah.
They were studiers.
Well, you know, we only have a few minutes, and I just want to point out too, and I might bring this up again next time, because the time goes by so fast. I don't know, maybe if we get enough donations, we can go for 2 hours. What do you think? Anyway, because I have so much to say, but nobody even thinks about all the things that Israel has actually done for the United States. And I'm just going to tell you a couple things, but, I don't want to go there, but I'm going to go there
someday.
You're going
to say there's a few things when God says He'll bless those that bless Israel. You've got a list of some blessings that we've received already.
I do.
Because we backed Israel.
Oh, there it is.
As a country, as a nation.
Yeah. I just want to say one thing. Like, for in the 1967 Six-Day War alone, when Israel had that war, they actually gave to the United States captured Soviet SAM-2s, SAM-12s, MiG-21s, aircraft, Soviet T-54 battle tanks. Israel even gave an entire squadron of MiG-21s to the United States, which was used for the United States Air Force and Naval Force training in America's top gun schools. Now, that's just one thing, and I'm going to give more next time, but
okay,
I just wanted to...
That's huge. When it comes to defense and armed service, that's huge.
That's right. And we need them over there in the Middle East. It's like, we can go there and use the land to fight enemies. And I mean, it's like having a big aircraft over there.
Well,
you know?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of reasons. And I'm going to get that list next time and go over it next time. Because we only have a couple minutes now. And I want you to be able to, of course, give the... Well, you know what? I think we'll just talk about Jerusalem as far as the scripture in Psalm 122, isn't it?
Psalm 122. Are you hearing any music? I'm not.
No, but we only have about a minute left.
Okay. We're down to our last minute.
I want to point out Psalm 122, verse 6. It says, "Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because those who love her shall prosper." Not maybe, shall prosper. So, in other words, we need to love Israel. How can we push them into the sea and love them at the same time? It's impossible.
That's true.
So, everybody, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. How do we pray for the peace of Jerusalem? It's pray that Jesus comes back.
That's how we do it.
That's
Sha'alu Shalom Yerushalayim. That's how we say it in Hebrew.
Say that one more time, John.
Sha'alu Shalom
Yerushalayim. That says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her shall prosper. Amen?
And that's not a maybe.
That's right.
Amen.
I hope you enjoyed the show today, and we're going to be back next week. If you missed it, tell your friends. They can get it on my webpage. Just go to shofarministries.net, click on radio on the first page, and I'll take you right to it. Amen?
Amen.
All right. See you next week, John.
See ya.
Thanks for spending your hour with Sheila Crawford and the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the right-hand side of the screen, and it'll take you to PayPal's secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, use Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@shofarministries.net. That's Sheila@shofarministries.net. Please join us next Saturday at 1 p.m. for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program is sponsored by Shofar Ministries.